Like a survivor who goes through many stages when moving on after leaving the narcissist, a narcissist also goes through multiple stages after being left by their supply. But quite shockingly, none of these stages include feeling remorse, grief, sadness, or some kind of pain, or realizing that I, as in the narcissist, did something wrong that they should take responsibility for. These are the stages that we'll be talking about in today's episode. Hi, I'm Danish, a narcissistic abuse recovery professional. In today's episode, we'll be talking about four stages a narcissist goes through when left by their primary source of supply. If that sounds interesting and you are eager to learn more with me, please make sure to subscribe before we begin, because your subscription to the channel helps spread awareness about narcissistic abuse. Let's start this video by watching a small video clip that will help you understand things better.
I can't tell you the hell she put me through. She abandoned me, literally abandoned me, and that's why we broke up. The truth is, she was extremely, extremely controlling. Yeah, she didn't even let me breathe. The irony is, she separated, alienated me from my children. I don't have any relationship with them. I don't know what to do.
Let me show the world the perfect partner I have found. Unlike her, she is amazing. Hashtag perfect partner. Hashtag new beginnings. I want her to see this, because I know she's still getting impacted by what I'm doing in my life. Yeah, she has to know I'm so happy without her.
Why hasn't my old supply tried to reach out? If she doesn't, that's not going to be good, because she has to be under my control. It's her birthday tomorrow, isn't it? Let me send her a cryptic, very bizarre, irrelevant message about her dog or a call that we are going to have later. Yes, that'll make her reach out. Send. Yeah. It's not fair. How can she move on like that with someone else? No, the world needs to know who she is. She needs to suffer. Let me call her friends and family and tell them how crazy she is so that they leave her and isolate her. Yeah. You know about your friend? She's crazy. Leave her. Yes.
Let's begin with the beginning. Stage number one, they become the eternal victim of their circumstances. Once you leave them, they fabricate a thread of lies. They weave a narrative, and each part of it is based on their perception of the reality, which of course is distorted. Whosoever comes across, they tell them the same painful story for one purpose: to make you look like the villain, to make it seem like they have been abused, they have been used, they have been battered. They are the most miserable soul one can ever imagine coming across, and they need saving. Unfortunately, people who are empathetic fall for this crap without knowing what they are signing up for, because the cycle is going to repeat itself. The only difference is it's going to happen with another person. The narcissist never ever takes a step back to consider the role they might have played in creating the situation they seem to be a victim of, they seem to be crying about. They always focus on what was done to them. Actually, it is the narcissistic injury they're crying about, because a narcissist does not like to be left, to be abandoned, and they, in their head, create this narrative that completely villainizes and demonizes the other person without considering the impact of the narcissist's behavior and their actions on that poor soul. You might wonder and ask, does a narcissist believe their lies while they are in the self-victimization mode? Yes, they do, because they heavily self-gaslight themselves. They convince themselves into believing they are the victim of the supply's doings, and they have been abused, battered, left alone, abandoned, alienated, and the story goes on. Talking about alienation further, they also cry about not being there for their children and missing them and all that BS, but they hardly put in any efforts to be a consistent, present parent, even when they are given all the time and space they need to do so. to appear as the right one in the situation, they may also grandiosely say wild, wild things like, she cheated on me, he cheated on me, which is why I broke up with her. Because they always have to be better than everybody else. So in this situation, they will never tell the full story. They will never tell the truth. They will never talk about the cheating they were caught doing, the betrayal, the trust that was broken, and the abuse they put the other person through. No, they have to appear bigger and better. So they'll blame it all on the other person. And that is what this victimhood stage is all about. Let's move to stage number two. They try to make you jealous. I always say a narcissist depends more on you than how much you depend on them. They are more impacted by your life and the events happening in it than how much you are impacted by what's going on in their life. The proof of which is the fact that they find it extremely important and necessary to post pictures with their new supply online and to make sure they're posted on their social media, their own social media, and everywhere else so that you know what's going on. Why? Because they know that's going to hurt you, that's going to trigger that chronic self-doubt, and you're going to ask questions like, was I not enough? Why does he or she look so happy with this new person? Does that mean they are better? They offered them everything they needed, this narcissist needed, and I was a failure? Apparently, they'll do everything with them you had ever wanted to do with them, you had ever wanted them to do with you, and that will make you really sad. In fact, many people ask me, he or she is now doing everything with him or her that I begged for. Why is that? They're going on holidays, they're posting pictures on social media, he or she is a part of his or her family now. I was always kept a secret. What is that all about? That's all about making it really difficult for you to move on. The narcissist wants to be involved in your life more than being involved in the life they seem to be creating with this new source of supply. It is their punitive nature in action. They are big punishers. They are vindictive. So they have to take that anger out because you took away the control by going no contact, or the discard happened and now there's no way to get you back. So they have to punish you. What is the only way and the easiest way to do that? Post pictures online. Make it seem like they are happier than they have ever been, and they don't want to do anything with you at all. If that is what's going on in your life, I want you to know you must not take any of that seriously. It's shit, nothing else. That is what it is, and you have to see it as such. It's a show they're putting on. It's a facade. It is a drama that's going on. They're used to doing it. Stage number three, they start hoovering and might try to get you back. A narcissist cannot stand the fact that you are moving on. You are breaking those chains and you are beginning to fly. You are leaving those dark dungeons they had kept you in, and you are moving on in your life. Their main goal is to keep you suffering, and you might wonder why, because that makes them feel powerful, that makes them feel in control. If you move on, if they see you making progress, and they sense it, they have that predatory intuition. They know what's going on in your life without actually knowing it. So it's on your big day or that day when you feel really good, and then when you feel like, yes, I have moved on, I see them for who they are, you will get a random message from this person saying something cryptic that would push you to respond to that, trying to know what's going on. You might get a message from them on your birthday or no contact anniversary or anything else, a big day, a milestone, and there comes a narcissist to pull you in, push you back, to trigger regression, and to make you lose all the progress by reinitiating contact and by going through the same cycle once again. Hoovering is the last attempt made by such an individual to reestablish control. It is what they do before the fourth stage, which is running a massive smear campaign. I can't tell you How many times I have been a victim of that craziness because I did not give in to the narcissist's demands. I did not respond to that love bombing. They might try to love bomb their way back into your life. If you give them a chance, they'll do it during the hoovering stage. Then they will show their extreme rage towards you through smear campaigning. It's said when a narcissist cannot control you directly, they will try to control how other people see you. So they will reach out to your friends and to your family, and they will tell lies and lies upon lies upon lies for one purpose: to isolate you and to bring as many people as possible on their side, because they think by doing so they'll be giving you a massive injury. Truth be told, unfortunately, it works in some cases. People, survivors of narcissistic abuse, get heavily isolated in situations where they need a lot of support. For example, in work situations where you need to have a good relationship with your boss, but if your colleague runs a massive smear campaign against you and turns your boss against you, guess what? You are going to face the heat, you are going to face the conflict, you are going to feel the chaos, you are going to go through so many issues and problems. That is the most unfortunate thing about this. Other times, it doesn't work because it filters out the people from your life, those who do not deserve to be in your life in any way. These people who listen to the narcissist are minions or flying monkeys and are not your real friends. When I left my malignant narcissistic sociopathic roommate, he tried to initiate contact with my new gonna-be roommate. That time I had one more year to complete in college, so I had to stay in the hostel. I am so grateful for them because they did not listen. They did not listen to the things he was telling them about me. Total lies, and they told me what they were being told by this crazy monster. None of it made sense. But the goal was to make them leave me, to make them cancel the reservation, the booking, and tell me lies that they did not want to be with me. They did not want to live with me anymore. They did not. They still chose to be with me, to live with me. And that was this narcissist's biggest defeat. The conclusion for this episode is that these individuals do not go through any stages of grief or pain or confusion or any crisis like you do. They quickly move on because they do not form true attachments. They were never in love with you. People ask me this a lot. Do they feel the pain that I feel? Do they struggle the way I do? Unfortunately, I have to tell you, they do not. They erase you from their mind like anything, like a piece of trash. It's out now. You don't exist in their head anymore. They float through life. They don't live it. They don't experience it. They are extremely dissociative. They do not form attachments, as I said. So keep that in mind and know that they go through four stages. They become the victim, and then they try to make you jealous. If that doesn't work, they hoover you, and then finally they run massive smear campaigns. That was it for today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and for staying this long. I have a guide for you, a free guide that answers top 10 questions asked by every single victim of narcissistic abuse. You can download it now by clicking the I button above or the link in description. I'll talk with you in the next one. Until then, as always, let the healing begin and continue.